The American Medical Association advises us to have frequent physical checkups to avoid health problems. Incidentally, like what I had this past week. But God advises us through Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 to examine ourselves frequently to see if we are in the faith. In the parable of the sower, we see that Jesus placed the blame for the failure squarely on the hearers. The hearer who pleases God must not only listen, but he must heed and he must yield. In this lesson this morning, I would like to suggest that we have a hearing test, a little bit of an ear checkup from the great physician. So we're going to start off by asking, how is your hearing? In case anybody didn't get it, how is your hearing? Okay. First thing we want to consider is some wrong motives that people have for hearing. Some, when they hear the gospel, only listen out of curiosity. This was the case of many of the Athenians on Mars Hill when Paul preached in Acts 17. Notice, beginning with verse 18, then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be proclaimer of a new god, of foreign gods, because he preached them to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and said, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things are." For all the Athenians and foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Notice, there was no real interest at all. They were just filled with curiosity. Some, though, here will hear in hopes of some type of material gain. This seems to be the motive behind Felix when he came with his wife Drusilla in Acts chapter 24. Notice here in verse 24 it says, "After some days, Felix came with Drusilla, who was a Jewess, and he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, he reasoned with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" Now listen to verse 26. "Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him." There was no real sincere desire to know what Paul was preaching, even though it disturbed him when Paul preached it to him. There was no sincere desire. He simply was hoping that, like with most people, he would present an offer of a bribe to him. And consequently, Felix would be enriched. But there are some people, especially this was true, and not only true in the time of Jesus, but especially true, is that they hear just for the sake of trying to entrap the speaker. This is what the Pharisees and the Herodians did to Jesus in Mark 12 and verse 13. They sent to him some of the Pharisees and Herodians and listened to catch him in his words. All they were interested in was trying to find something that they could get him on, something they could pin him down to. But then there are others who are wrongly motivated, and that is because they only hear out of admiration for the speaker. It may be he has a very pleasing voice and presentation. His personality may be quite winning. He's quite charismatic in his presentation. Or he may use a type of logic that they think is quite interesting and they find to be very pleasing. But what it really comes down to, they have developed a case of preacheritis. Now, don't go thinking you're going to see any advertisements on TV for a new drug you can take that will prevent this, because there won't be such thing. Preacheritis is manifest when some people do not attend if their favorite preacher isn't preaching. In fact, some congregations hesitate to announce that there'll be somebody other than the regular preacher preaching because their attendance will drop off. I know you think that's funny, but that's real. That's real. That shouldn't be. All of these, in fact, are bad reasons for hearing. Now, what about some good motives? Well, some hear in an effort to search for solutions to problems. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I'm going to look at several different things in Ecclesiastes, but Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, verse 4, there's something in common here. Chapter 2, verse 17, chapter 3, verse 19, and chapter 12, verse 8. You know what the common thing is? All is vanity. Now, why could Solomon say something like this? Well, Solomon set out, and if you start at the beginning of the book of Ecclesiastes, which we, it's not too long ago, we read this in our daily Bible reading. If you start out at the beginning, you notice that that Solomon is setting out on a quest. He says, now I want to find out what really has substance. He was in a position to explore anything and everything that this world had to offer. So, in his wisdom, he set out to test these different things. And do you know what he found out each time? Vanity, vanity. All is vanity. And what it really came down to was this. All of the world's riches, all the world's wisdom could not bring him true peace. That's what it... Now, the Bible, see, has all the answers to these life's questions, you know. And so, when we set out on the noble quest of finding solutions for our problems, we'll find them in the Bible. They're there. Some people hear the truth simply because they love the truth. Now, I want you to let that sink in a little bit. I have a reference here to Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, 38 through 41. But you notice that Jesus said that, Martha, you were troubled about many things. But what about Mary? She has chosen the good part. The part that won't be taken away from her. She loved the truth. Absolutely loved it. Now, what does this mean for us? This is one of the highest motivations that we can have, is love for the truth. Why? Because we'll want to study it. We'll want to learn it. And consequently, we will want to obey it. Do you see the difference here between this and simply looking into it and saying, well, yeah, I could obey that, okay. I don't like that. I won't do that. And oh, I can obey that, okay. That's different. Love for the truth asks you the truth to tell you the truth whether you like it or don't like it. That's love for the truth. Love for the truth causes you to ask, tell me what the truth is, even if I've never done it before. If it's totally different from everything I've ever done. Love for the truth will cause you to accept it and obey it no matter what the cost. That's love for the truth. And as I said, truly the highest of motivations. But we're talking about the idea of motivation for hearing. But as we look around in the Bible, we find out that there are some wrong types of hearers. And we see them today. I know that this always brings a chuckle in my mind because my dad used to describe certain people like this. And this first type of hearer that I want to talk about is the one in the one ear and out the other. It's the in the out, in the one ear and out the other hearer. Jesus described them in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. He said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside in the parable of the sower we spoke of just a moment ago. There are some like this in every audience. These are the ones who complain that they get nothing out of the sermons, get nothing out of the classes. They blame either the preacher or the teacher for not giving them any meat. The truth is, if they got meat, they'd choke on it. They'd choke on it. Reality is that because these people are not attentive to the lesson and are not deeply involved in the lesson, it just goes in one ear and out the other. We need to be able to recognize where the real problem is and make necessary corrections. Now, I'll grant you, I'm going to stop. There may be teachers and there may be preachers who don't give people anything to chew on. And the world does have a number of those. But I'm talking about people who sit week after week after week in an audience and never get anything out of it. Just go right through them. Plain and simple as that. But there's another type of hearer that's just as bad. You know what that kind is? It's what we call the religious spree hearer. He's described by Jesus in Matthew 13 and verse 20 as the one who received the seed on a stony place. And it was he who heard the word, immediately received it with joy, yet had no root in himself, but endured for only a while. And when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately stumbles. You ever seen anyone like that? They listen. And frankly, they may even say that they agree with the preacher. Yeah. But they never, ever get grounded. They never get involved in the word. They come to several assemblies, and then after a while, we start seeing that they miss one and miss another one, and pretty soon they miss more. And then they're back again, and they're back for several assemblies, and then they're off in space again, on again, off again. And you know what happens to that person? The hearer finally dies out because his religious spree has come to an end, and he is, listen, still in his sin and still lost. But there's a very common type of hearer that we run into all the time. This is the worldly minded hearer. Jesus described him in Matthew 13, verse 22, as the one who receives seed among the thorns. He says he hears the word, and the cares of the world and the riches, deceitfulness of riches, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. What's the problem with this hearer? Well, he's trying to keep one foot in the world and the other in the church. He feels a need to be a part of the body of Christ, but he has so many connections out there in the world. And consequently, he has divided allegiance. And you know what Jesus said about that in the 6th chapter of Matthew in verse 24? No one can serve two masters. To put it in modern vernacular, there's no such thing as fence straddling when it comes to serving the Lord. You're either in or you're out. Now, what does he say a person who's trying to serve two masters will do? Well, he'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll love the one, are loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You got to make up your mind. Whenever anyone criticizes his attitude, very often the fence straddler becomes offended. He doesn't want anybody to point out that he's trying to serve God and mammon at the same time. And very often quits the church. But really, what he has done is he allowed the devil to suffocate him spiritually to death. He suffocated him to death. But that's the problem with that kind of a hearer. Now, I'm going to make myself clear after I say what I'm going to say. I want to talk about the loss of memory hearers. I'm not referring to people who are simply slipping a cog here and there because of age. I'm talking about forgetful hearers. In James chapter 1, verse 22, down through verse 26, James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work." Now notice the contrast. Forgetful hearer versus doer. Okay? A doer of the work. "This one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is worthless." Now, this type of hearer may look and he may see sin in his life, but he walks away, and here's where he's a forgetful. He forgets it. Now, the word has done its job. It has made him recognize this is sinful in your life. But he just turns and walks away and forgets all about it. Forgets all about it. Many times, these sins that we see when we look in the mirror are sins of omission, such as James wrote about in James 4:17. "Anyone, for any man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." But what we need is more Christians who forget offenses against themselves just the way they had been forgetting duties and remember duties the way they remember offenses. We got it all twisted around the wrong way. But then we have the closed ear hearers. Now, they may not be covering up their ears, and that may not be what you see, but they're not listening. You can talk all you want, but they're not listening. We read about some people in this in Acts 7, verse 57. The occasion there was a preacher by the name of Stephen. Remember him? Stephen had been preaching the truth to these people. And what does the text say? They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. Now, I will tell you, in the course of over 40 years of preaching the gospel, I have had some occasions where there were people in the audience who were of the same mind as those people were who killed Stephen. And as shameful as it is, they would have probably done harm to me if they could get away with it, because they couldn't tolerate the truth. Absolutely couldn't tolerate the truth. But you know, people are kind of like words of the old folk song that all you old timers will probably remember. There is none so blind as he who will not see. That's the fellow with his ears closed. He's not listening. Not listening. But we also got to remember, we have to deal with itching ear hearers. Paul warned Timothy about this in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. The time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from hearing the truth and turn aside to fables. Some people refuse to hear anything they do not agree with. Sad to say, there are congregations where anything that is controversial is taboo. Why? Because people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They have grown much like the people in Jeremiah's time. Prophesy unto me smooth things. We want to hear things that will make us feel good. We don't want anything to make us mad or hurt or upset. Oh, no. And sad to say, there are some people that only want to be amused and entertained. That's the kind of preaching they enjoy. I mean, they would rather have a preacher who was schooled at Comedy Central than a preacher who was schooled on God's Word. And that really is sad, but that's the truth. Now, in the two and a half minutes I've got left, I want to talk to you about the right kind of hearers. The right kind of hearers are discerning hearers. The word discern means to make a distinction. That's what discern means. They measure the words of the speaker carefully. Eve heard, believed, and obeyed. Have you ever thought of that before? Eve heard, believed, and obeyed. But she heard a lie. She failed to be discerning. And many people do this today. For this reason, Jesus says in Mark 4, verse 24, take heed what you hear. He warns that some will be false teachers dressed in sheep's clothing in Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16. John says in 1 John 4 and verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This old business of it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere simply is not from God. It is the doctrine of the devil. Let me suggest also that we must also be candid hearers. To be candid means to be free from bias, prejudice, or malice. See how the word candid fits that? A good example of this is a bunch of folks that were Bereans. They were people that were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. There's a vast difference between hearing to try to prove what we believe and hearing to be justified. If the only reason that we are hearing is to try to pick out something out of all this that makes us feel justified, can't do it. Cannot do it. You have got to be willing to hear for the purpose of being justified. It's the only way. Proper hearers are also reverent hearers. To be reverent means to be filled with fear, mingled with respect and esteem. Fear mingled with respect and esteem. We need to be like Israel of old. Whenever the law was read, Ezra opened up the book in the sight of all the people. He was standing then above all of them. And he opened it, and what had happened when he opened it? Did they take out their iPad and start playing a game? No. They didn't get their phone out and start calling somebody? No. They stood up. Why? Reverence. They realized that what was being read was the Word of God. We need to be reverent hearers. I think we should ponder this profound respect for the Word of God and remember that, in fact, as Paul commended the brethren at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, you received what we said to you and what we taught you, as in truth it is the Word of God. The Word of God. But finally, frequent hearers are the kind of hearers that we need in the world today. If you look with me at Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, most of you probably can loosely quote this. But in the Psalms, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law, in God's law, or his law, he meditates day and night. He doesn't think about it occasionally, or Saturday afternoon, just before he goes to bed, remember he hasn't even looked at his lesson yet, so he studies it real quick. He meditates on it day and night. The disciples set a good example for us in Acts 2:42, where they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching. We all should make it a point to search the Scriptures just as Jesus told the Pharisees to do in John 5 and verse 39, and do it regularly. But some say, oh, I can't understand it, so why listen? Let me ask you a question. Do you suppose students of higher math understood it all the first time they heard it? And they hadn't put any study into it. They understood it. Now, you would think it was pretty ridiculous for a college student to come home and say, oh, I can't understand all about all of this math stuff, so it's too complicated and I'm going to quit. We're sending you to school to learn that. We expect you to understand it already. Now, I don't mind telling you that I much rather be in classes on subjects that I pretty well understood before I started, because I knew I was going to get a good grade. That's kind of like, let's see, sending a preacher to a speech class. Get a good grade, got an A. But anyway, you know that you have to put some effort in to learn. And part of being a good hearer is being a submissive hearer. This means that we have hearing mixed with a vital element. In Hebrews 4 and 2, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Now listen to what it says. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. This is addressed to Christians that were Jews. There's some who didn't profit from the teaching because it was not mixed with faith. James addresses this in James chapter 2 and verse 20. Do you not want to know, O foolish man? Faith without works is dead. What does that mean? Faith united with works makes us submissive hearers. This is the case of Cornelius in Acts 10, verse 33. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God. That, my friends, is a submissive hearer. Now, how good is your hearing? How good is it? If it's bad in any way, why not realize that today and come to the blessed physician, Jesus Christ, who is able to restore your hearing to the proper way and let you hear His word the way it's meant to be heard. And it will, in effect, bring about your salvation when you're doing His will.